Going on, guys. Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 89, where we're going to discuss why you need to break the cycle of chronic dieting to set yourself up for better body composition in the future. So before we get into the meat of this topic, I just want to give you all an update on some changes that we're making to the show and to the podcast. So for the next few months, I'm going to try to do the show on my own and do some solo casts as I did last week, as Jeff is going to be taking some time off of doing all type of health and nutrition focused podcasts. And seeing as the show has always been centered around the topics of health, fitness, nutrition, and training, I want to continue covering these topics in an effort to continue my initial goal with this show, which was to bridge the gap between research and information and practical application. And many don't realize just how time consuming doing a podcast is, as it's not just like Jeff and I just show up for an hour every week to record a random episode. You know what I mean? And so on my end, it takes a lot of time to compile information and read research to be able to convey quality information that combines both the best available evidence on a topic, but also to combine my 10 plus years of experience coaching clients in the real world. So since day one, I've handled the structure and information that is covered on the show, and Jeff has handled everything on the back end, including editing and producing the show. But we also have, both have very busy schedules that often, we end up cramming, especially within the last few months. We've been cramming these episodes in every week just to get them out in a consistent and timely manner, especially as we're on different time zones and have very hectic schedules that often they just don't, comply with one another. And so the last few months, I'll be honest with you guys, my mother has been in and out of the hospital and in poor health, and I've been spending much of my free time, running to the hospital to visit her or even to appointments to bring her, as she's unable to drive at this point. And so it's really, I've taken the role over as her caretaker or her caregiver, essentially. And Jeff, on the other hand, is currently getting ready to release his book, which you guys have heard about many times on the show, which is entitled Brittle to Unbreakable, which is set to release in early 2024. So every week, it's become more and more difficult to find availability within our schedules to record the show. So we decided this last week that it was better off if I just take over the show for a while and see how it goes going forward. And then he will come back in when he has more availability and when we really can get on a more compliant schedule in terms of both of us being able to meet each other where we're at and really align in terms of our scheduling. And so I'll tell you guys personally, I had the opportunity to just not do this show. That was something Jeff and I spoke about, but I really pride myself on being someone who's extremely consistent in all aspects of my life, including my coaching, my training, my nutrition, and even in recording of the show. So I'm going to do my best to keep this podcast running on a weekly basis. But seeing as I honestly have no experience in editing and producing a podcast, there's going to be a learning curve within this process. So seeing as this is only my second solo podcast ever, I'd love to hear any feedback from any of you guys about whether or not you enjoy the show and the new format, especially like the solo casts, as I truly want to be able to be of the best service possible to all of you. But this is also a really large time commitment on my end. So I want to make sure that it's worth it to all of those within the Chasing Clarity community that we've built up over the last year and a half plus that we've been doing the show. And as always, you guys, I just want to say I truly appreciate all the support that you guys have given us and our show since day one, since we started it, and we'll continue to appreciate the support or any feedback y'all have. All right. So with that out of the way, let's get on to today's topic. So on last week's episode of the show, I covered the downsides of chronic underfueling and engaging in frequent dieting cycles and went over topics such as the prevalence of chronic dieting and underfueling, the negative effects of chronic underfueling, the difference, and I extrapolated out between, appropriate fueling for the work required or for the training that you're doing and for your lifestyle, and then what many people do, which is underfuel themselves. And then I also covered how underfueling impacts our metabolism, our thyroid hormone production, our body composition outcomes, our ability to gain and maintain muscle mass, our training performance, and then our sex hormone production, endocrine, and reproductive function. And within that podcast, I covered how chronic underfueling and constantly aiming to be in a deficit can lead to a deficiency in energy availability, which is when you do not have adequate energy and nutrients to meet the demands of your exercise and training, as well as to maintain your normal physiological function. And when you stay in a state of low energy availability for a prolonged period of time, as would be the case for someone who chronically diets, you can enter a state of relative energy deficiency, where metabolic and reproductive function are downregulated and turned down to conserve calories and maintain energy balance. And this not only makes you less responsive to dieting and makes fat loss more difficult, but it can also have many long-term health consequences and decrements. And so on today's podcast, I'm going to cover some of the questions I receive regarding the habits and behaviors that lead individuals to being in a chronically underfueled state and to be more likely to experience the symptoms of energy deficiency and thus be less responsive to a deficit. So we're going to go over various topics within this, but I'm going to start off with what is the purpose of nutrition when it comes to our body composition improvement? So before we get into the factors that lead to energy deficiency, I think it's really important to acknowledge the role that nutrition plays in the body composition improvement process. So I'll tell you guys personally, as a nutritionist, my goal is to provide clients with a nutritional framework that provides sufficient macronutrient and micronutrient intakes to reach their body composition goals, to help them train in a progressive and productive manner, to recover adequately from that training so that they can actually adapt, and also to support an active and fruitful lifestyle. And this will differ from client to client and will depend on various things such as their individual goals, their current body composition, their sex, their training load, their activity levels, and the goal-specific phase that they're in. However, I think it's really important to realize that we need to consider the health of the individual and maintain it or improve it through our nutritional strategies and approaches. So the issue here is that many simply look at nutrition in this restriction and subtraction-based mindset, where they only focus on the diet when they want to lose body fat and body weight. And this leads them to bounce between extremes of overeating to undereating, which negatively impacts their body composition outcomes, their biofeedback and how they feel, their ability to train in a progressive manner and recover from that training, and then also their overall metabolic and hormonal health. So the big focus of today's podcast is going to be on the habits that increase the risk of energy deficiency and decrease your responsiveness to dieting. And so when we really think about it from a broad-based perspective, the main underlying cause of energy deficiency is low energy availability, which results from chronically underfueling yourself. Now, if we look at this from a top-down perspective, low energy availability usually results from having an insufficient energy intake as compared to your total training load that you're doing, which results in low energy availability and a lack of energy for physiological processes, which is the situation many in the general population find themselves in, who are constantly jumping onto a new diet. And so this is this chronic yo-yo dieting scenario that we often encounter. But it can also happen as a result of excessive exercise and such a high training load that someone cannot keep up with their energy intake demands needed to fuel that training, which is a situation that many athletes and competitors can often find themselves in. And there's a laundry list of habits that increase your risk of developing energy deficiency and result in your body being less responsive to dieting and to energy deficits. And these habits include being extremely scale weight focused, going between cycles of undereating to overeating and essentially binging, following things like fad diets, skipping meals and going extended periods of time without eating, and eliminating entire macronutrient groups or food groups out of your diet. So today we're going to go through all of these and how they contribute to this cycle and essentially how they lead to a state where you're chronically underfueling yourself and suffering some of the ramifications and consequences of those actions. So the first habit that we're going to cover is being hyper-focused on your scale weight as the be-all end-all metric of progress. And so a common situation and mental roadblock I encounter many people having is they're hyper-focused and hyper-fixated on their scale weight, especially year-round. So even when they're not in a fat loss focus phase, they never let themselves eat enough to fully fuel their training and activities of daily living. And they're always trying to restrict themselves, which often leads them to engage in chronic dieting practices. And there's a reason I often talk about the importance of nutritional periodization and taking a periodized approach towards body composition improvement. And that's because there's a proper time and place for every goal and dietary approach. So there's a time to eat in a deficit and focus on that goal of losing body fat. But this should not be your focus year-round and at all times. It's important to realize that you cannot be in a deficit year-round because if you really want to improve your body composition to build muscle and build a more resilient, responsive, and robust metabolism, that will require spending an extended period of time eating at maintenance at the very least, or even a slight surplus, so that you're able to improve from one year to the next, so that the next time you do diet down and focus your attention and energy on losing body fat, you'll be able to attain a leaner, more muscular, and a better physique as a result of that. And one thing I try to work on with clients is their habit of always dieting and always being in this restriction-based mindset, as this type of approach is not only going to hinder your training performance and body composition progress, but it isn't healthy from a physiological and mental perspective. And one thing that's tied into being scale weight focused is what's called a drive for thinness. and trying to always be lighter and always trying to be a smaller version of yourself. And so, in a 2007 study, researchers looked at exercising females and sedentary females and assessed their drive for thinness using the eating disorder inventory. And they found that those who had a high drive for thinness in comparison to athlete and non-athletes with a normal drive for thinness had a higher rate of energy deficiency. So those were at a 66%, 66% of them were chronically underfueled. They scored higher for scores of bulimia. They experienced more amenorrhea and menstrual cycle dysfunction and had lower resting energy expenditure, lower T3 levels, and higher ghrelin levels. And this is why it's important to shift your mindset whenever you're not in a fat loss phase and to focus on your performance, your strength increases, and what your body can do rather than just what it weighs. The second habit is going between cycles of undereating to overeating. So one habit that many partake in that leads them to being chronically underfueled and not reaching their physique goals is being what I refer to as a weekday dieter, meaning that they over-restrict their calories all week long and underfuel themselves during the week, but then they overeat and overindulge every weekend, which leads them to not seeing any visible or tangible physique progress. And this situation leads you to being in a state of low energy availability Monday through Friday, which is the vast majority of the week, but then you're in a state of excess on weekends. And so the main drawback of this approach is that you spend the vast majority of your time in this underfueled state and in this state of low energy availability, which can cause down regulations in your metabolism and your total daily energy expenditure. So on the weekends, when you swing in the opposite direction and you overeat, whether that be through cheat meals and hyperpalatable foods, or you decide to go out and drink alcohol, you're more likely to store those excess calories and those extra calories that you're taking in as body fat. So you're basically getting the worst of both worlds, meaning you incur the metabolic adaptations of dieting, but you don't get any of the fat loss and body composition benefits because you negate the deficit you worked hard all week to create due to your weekend habits and due to swinging from one extreme to the other, essentially. And this is a pattern I've seen many partake in over the years. And although they may think that they're undoing the damage their weekend splurging habits have done, they're actually doing themselves more harm than good, which is why so many realize that year after year, they're not seeing the body composition progress that they desire. So usually people get into this habit because at first they're able to get away with it. So they almost don't even realize the ramifications of it until they're months or years down the line and really see, hey, listen, I haven't made any visible progress and I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. And so many will have a weekend of excess where they eat and they drink a bit too much and they gain weight as a result. But then they notice that if they buckle down and over-restrict calories during the week, they're able to lose some of that weight that they gained from the weekend. But over time, all this does is lead to a situation where you've caused negative metabolic adaptations from being in a state of low energy availability Monday through Friday, and then you overcompensate on the weekends due to being excessively hungry and underfueled. So you never make any tangible body composition progress, but you're likely to suffer from a lot of the effects of low energy availability and energy efficiency. So you're basically on this merry-go-round of stagnation. Now, the third habit that often leads to this chronically underfueled state is following fad diets. So this is another habit that causes many to underfuel themselves and get stuck in the cycle of chronic dieting. And there are so many fad diets being promoted on social media nowadays that many are influenced to follow nutritional protocols that aren't going to be conducive for their physique development, progress, and health long term. And fad diets are something that are extremely popular, especially amongst the general population. And they're often sold as a quick fix or your one solution to your body composition goals. And this is a timely topic, especially with the new year coming right around the corner, as a lot of people will be looking for the next best thing to improve their body composition. And a fad diet is essentially a dietary approach that's sold using claims around being the fastest or best approach to a specific goal. And in today's diet culture, the vast majority of fad diets are marketed towards losing weight. And so they really reel a lot of people in. Now, the issue is nearly all fad diets share a commonality, which is that they eliminate major food groups or macronutrients, which make them unsustainable long term. So although these diets can lead to weight loss, they often lead to precipitous and rapid weight regain once the diet has ended, or the dieter essentially just cannot stick to it any longer due to the extremes they have to go to fall in line with the rigid rules of this dietary approach. And so following fad diets can often lead to things like nutritional deficiencies, food fears, and dichotomous views on food, where you look at nutrition in this black and white manner. So it's you have diet foods and non-diet foods, unplanned foods and not planned foods, good foods and bad foods, clean foods and dirty foods. And it's just a really dichotomous and unhealthy way to look at nutrition or foods in general. And if you look at every common fad diet, there are drawbacks to them that many overlook. So, for example, with gluten-free diets, a lot of gluten-free options aren't actually healthier or lower in calories. They just don't contain gluten. So someone may eliminate gluten from their diet, but they still overconsume calories, which will limit their body composition progress. Then with vegan diets, many will need to consume more calories to get in an adequate protein intake, and this will limit weight loss and can lead someone to underconsume protein and/or develop vitamin and mineral deficiencies. Then with intermittent fasting, we have this restricted eating window, which can limit your ability to fuel yourself properly prior to training, and this underfueling will limit your training performance. And it limits the amount of times per day that you can robustly stimulate muscle protein synthesis because within this constrained eating window, you're essentially not able to adequately or properly spread out your daily protein intake across the day. It's also been shown to lead to a greater likelihood of muscle loss. And some studies find that skipping breakfast in and of itself, which essentially is a common habit, like if we look at the vast majority of intermittent fasting strategies, it's eating from like 12 to 8 o'clock or 1 to 9 o'clock. And oftentimes, this will advise individuals to skip breakfast. And we actually see in research that just the act of skipping breakfast for those that generally do eat breakfast can actually lower physical activity levels and your total daily energy expenditure. And then with approaches like keto, this diet limits your carbohydrate intake, which can hamper training performance. It's been shown to lead to less muscle growth as compared to mixed diets that do contain carbohydrates. It eliminates high satiety foods like potatoes and oats and fruits, which can impact hunger management, and it limits your fruit and vegetable intake, which can impact your micronutrient intake and your status and essentially your ability to have a well-balanced diet that really helps to not only optimize body composition, hunger management, but also health. And the last fad dieting craze that has really come into fashion in the last few years is the carnivore diet. And so the carnivore diet is an animal-based diet, which is generally very low in carbohydrates due to the fact that the only food sources that are usually eaten on this diet are coming from meat and eggs, or essentially animal-based protein sources. And so there are a few different approaches one may take with a carnivore diet, whether that be just an all-muscle meat diet or a nose-to-tail diet, where they do consume other things, but it's generally items like organs, like liver and heart. But besides meat and animal products, this diet usually advocates for the exclusion and the elimination of all other food sources, including vegetables, fruits, and whole grains, which we know independently have a multitude of benefits from consuming on a regular basis. And the issue with this diet is that there are several nutrient deficiencies that can come from a diet solely comprised of animal sources, despite the fact that animal sources of protein are nutrient-dense whole food sources. And so I've had, some clients come to me in the past who are on a carnivore diet, and I found that these individuals following this approach are generally deficient in multiple micronutrients. So that can include things like vitamin C, calcium, electrolytes, especially your magnesium and your potassium. And now the issue, the electrolyte issue, is something that most who take on a low carbohydrate diet approach will encounter, as the diet itself doesn't provide sufficient electrolytes through their food sources. But this electrolyte deficiency is also compounded by the fact that they're not eating an adequate amount of carbohydrates, so they can't actually hold on to the electrolytes they consume or supplement. And this is why many who transition into a low carb or ketogenic diet or a carnivore diet approach often refer, experience what's referred to as keto flu. Because when insulin levels are very low and they precipitously drop down when, you exclude carbohydrates out of your diet, it causes the kidneys to excrete more electrolytes, which can impact your performance, your recovery, and your general health. And then also, insulin and sex hormone binding globulin also have an inverse relationship. So when insulin levels are really low, it can cause sex hormone binding globulin to increase, which can lower free testosterone levels. And there are other additional drawbacks to a structure of a carnivore diet. So for one, it generally leads to a high intake of saturated fats, which can increase LDL levels, which is independently linked to an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. And in a study where they put subjects into a surplus using either saturated fat or polyunsaturated fat, they actually found that overfeeding on saturated fats led to more fat gain in total, greater increases in visceral fat, which is closely linked to both insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. It led to more liver fat deposition as compared to overfeeding on polyunsaturated fats. Now, both groups gained the same amount of body weight, but actually, when we look at the polyunsaturated fats, which could include things like omega-3s and omega-6s, that group actually gained more lean body mass and less fat mass for the same amount of calories in excess. And so carnivore diets also do not include any plant products or plant foods, essentially. So these diets feature little to no fiber, which is an issue for a variety of reasons. Any diet that has very low fiber intake is going to lead to a variety of issues, as these type of dietary approaches don't support the growth of good bacteria, as fiber is something that feeds the gut and has various benefits, especially on multiple aspects of our health. And this is because fermentable fibers get converted into short-chain fatty acids, which have many benefits, including anti-inflammatory properties, so they lower inflammation. They have immune modulating properties. They help to improve insulin sensitivity and glucose metabolism. They lead to both better carb and fat metabolism. They help with hunger management. They help with appetite regulation due to their high food volume. So if you think about the expansion that you get in the stomach when you eat fiber-containing food sources, and they also increase satiety via PYY. And fiber can also help with lowering cholesterol, increasing satiety and eating and weight loss, and they can help normalize bowel movements. Fiber is also especially helpful from a metabolic health and blood sugar control perspective, as it slows down the rate of glucose absorption and insulin secretion. It reduces HbA1c levels. It tends to lower fasting blood glucose, and then it lowers triglycerides, which is another marker that's commonly elevated in those with insulin resistance. So fiber is definitely something that you want to include in a well-balanced diet, regardless of the dietary approach that you decide to take or that you prefer. And some research has found that following named diets that cut out certain foods or restrict them, including things like gluten-free diets, vegetarian diets, keto diets, increase actually females' likelihood of experiencing low energy availability. And on a study on athletes with low energy availability, they found that 47% of these individuals were following low-carb diets, 41% of these individuals were following gluten-free diets, and 17% of these individuals were following paleo diets. So when it comes to deciding what dietary approach you should use, it's important to be selective about the approach you choose and not to just follow a diet because it's popular or it's highly marketed or some influencer on Instagram is saying that this is the next best thing. All right, so on to habit number four, which is eliminating entire macronutrient and/or food groups out of your diet. So another habit that's related to chronic underfueling, which can lead you to being at an increased risk for developing energy deficiency and turning down your physiological function, is following a dietary approach where you eliminate entire macronutrients and/or food groups completely out of your diet. And the elimination of certain nutrients is something that's common with dietary approaches such as keto, carnivore, and plant-based approaches, where a lot of times these approaches will encourage you to completely cut out carbs and sources of sugar such as fruits and/or animal sources of protein. And a major contributing factor to developing energy deficiency is eliminating carbs from your diet, which leads to what's called, referred to as a state of low carbohydrate availability. Now, the reason that this is important is because having adequate carbohydrate availability is tied to many hormonal systems. So it's tied to leptin, LH, which is luteinizing hormone, and thyroid production. And it's also needed for fueling high-intensity exercise performance. And glucose, so what comes from carbohydrates, is the preferred fuel source for your muscles, your brain, and your central nervous system. So fueling yourself appropriately and having adequate carbohydrate availability is important, as being in a state of low carbohydrate availability can result in decreases in thyroid production, decreased leptin production, which is one of your main satiety hormones, and can have negative impacts on iron absorption and bone health. So in a 2023 narrative review, which was just released, they looked at the relationship between low carbohydrate availability and relative energy efficiency, or essentially being underfueled. And they proposed that low carbohydrate availability can contribute to the negative effects of low energy availability, but it can also have independent performance and health consequences, especially in active individuals. And they found when individuals did not consume enough carbohydrates compared to the requirements for their body composition and physical activity or exercise levels, it can lead to this state of low carbohydrate availability. And now, low carbohydrate availability is a separate concern that's independent of low energy availability, though they're often attained simultaneously. So it often happens at the same time. And this is defined as having a diet with low carbohydrate intake before, during, and/or after exercise, which reduces the amount of available carbohydrates for the body to use. And it leads to low glycogen stores and/or low exogenous intakes of dietary carbohydrates. And most studies looking at low energy availability in athletes are also accompanied by those individuals being in a state of low carbohydrate availability. And several studies demonstrate that low carbohydrate availability is especially common in females who are also at an increased risk of low energy availability. And recently, several research investigations have elucidated carbohydrates' energy-independent or magnifying role in REDS-related health outcomes. There have been several investigations in male athletes comparing the effects of high-energy and high-carbohydrate diets to high-energy diets that are high in fat but low in carbohydrates, and then also compared them to low-calorie diets with low to moderate carbohydrate intakes, and have looked at things like the impacts and the effects on bone health, immunity, and iron biomarkers. And these studies have reported increases in bone resorption biomarkers with an impairment in biomarkers of bone formation, as well as increased post-workout concentrations of inflammatory markers like IL-6 and hepcidin. And these findings suggest deleterious effects on bone, immunity, and iron biomarkers as a result of being in a state of low carbohydrate availability, sometimes in the absence of these individuals being in low energy availability. So you can have adequate energy intake. You can be eating at maintenance calorie intake, but because that is being done through a high fat, low carbohydrate diet, and you're essentially in a state of low carbohydrate availability, it can actually downregulate different various processes, including your ability to maintain proper bone health, in your ability to maintain proper immune function, and then also your iron status or iron absorption. And so, more recently, a 3-day intervention in females showed a 264% increase in hepcidin, which is a marker of iron bioavailability, essentially. So, if hepcidin is high, it's blocking your ability to absorb iron. And that was shown in a low calorie, low carbohydrate diet compared with only a 69% increase in hepcidin with a calorie match low ca calorie but high carbohydrate diet. So we see that eliminating carbs can impact not only your training performance, which is something we've covered in other episodes of the show, but also health. And this is especially impactful for women who are already at a higher disposition for iron deficiency due to their monthly menstrual cycle, and then also bone health issues due to menopause. And so another effect of being in low carbohydrate availability is that it can exacerbate and exaggerate, essentially, the downregulation of our thyroid hormone production, both in an energy deficit, but also at energy balance when we're eating at maintenance calories, which is something many don't realize. And so often we've spoken about in the past how dieting and being in a deficit can impact your thyroid production, essentially. So we know that during a fat loss phase, when we're in a calorie deficit, we can see a downregulation in thyroid hormone production and the conversion of T4 to metabolically active T3 for a variety of reasons, including the energy deficit itself, a lack of micronutrients in the diet. If someone isn't following like a very well-structured and whole foods-based diet, so if you have low dietary intakes of things like selenium, iodine, and zinc, these are going to be necessary for proper thyroid hormone production and synthesis. And another reason for that is due to a lack of carbohydrates in the diet. But we also have research that has sh that shows that even if a person isn't in an energy deficit, thyroid production and specifically T3 levels, which is the metabolically active form of thyroid hormone, can be downregulated when someone is following a ketogenic diet due to consuming chronically low levels of carbohydrates. And there was a study by Finney where they had participants follow a baseline diet that included carbohydrates. And then what they did was they transitioned them into a ketogenic diet where they had them eat at maintenance calorie intake and monitored them to make sure that they didn't lose weight to ensure their results weren't impacted by being in an energy deficit. And throughout this study, they also supplemented them with vitamins and minerals so they weren't suffering from any micronutrient deficiencies. And they found that during each week on the ketogenic diet, the participants' T3 levels dropped more and more. And by the end, T3 had dropped by or decreased by close to 50% in just 4 weeks, even though they weren't in a deficit and didn't lose any weight. So this wasn't due to being in a deficit in a state of low energy availability, but more so due to the lack of carbs and having been put into a state of low carbohydrate availability. So this reinforces the fact that it's not just low energy availability that's downregulating your hormonal levels, but it also could be just the lack of carbohydrates in the diet that aren't sufficiently fueling yourself for exercise and activities of daily living. Habit five is skipping meals and going extended periods of time without eating, which can result in within-day energy deficiency. So another habit that leads many to being in an underfueled state is skipping meals and going extended periods of time throughout the day without eating, which can lead to what's referred to as within-day energy deficiency. And so within-day energy deficiency refers to the fact that you can be eating enough over a 24-hour period if we were to look at it from a full day perspective. But if you're going long periods of time throughout the day in a fasted state, when you're awake and you're not eating, you can develop a lot of the metabolic and endocrine effects of being in low energy availability as you're spending a large portion of the day in an energy deficient state. And this is something that's extremely common in the general population and general public due to the rising popularity of approaches like intermittent fasting and breakfast skipping and things of that sort. and is a topic I'm going to dive into in depth in next week's podcast. So the last topic I'll cover on today's episode is why you should be periodizing your nutrition and your physique goals. And so any goal you're trying to elicit from the body and you're really trying to attain, whether it be muscle gain, it be body recomposition, fat loss, or strength increases, is essentially an imposed stress on the body and should be managed and treated as such. And this is why we need to periodize our nutrition just like we would our training and just like we do with our training. And so this is why I believe in and utilize periodized phases with my clients in a structured manner where I line up phases to potentiate one another, such as starting with a primer phase and then going into a fat loss phase once someone is primed and ready to actually handle an energy deficit. And then after that fat loss phase ends, I'll transition them into whether it be a recovery or reverse diet phase. And then after we have recovered from the diet itself and reverse and mitigated all the metabolic adaptations that have been sustained during the energy deficit itself, we can go into a maintenance phase or lean building phase or whatever their goal specific phase would encompass or really be focused towards. And the goal with this periodized approach is to transition between phases to provide the body with a different stimulus that helps one system recover while another develops. So we're really offloading stress from one system. So for instance, if you go from a fat loss phase and you've stressed your metabolic system, then we're going to go into a recovery phase where we're increasing energy availability. We're taking stress off the metabolism. We're rebuilding that essentially. And we're really focusing on building muscle, which is a new stimulus. And this is how we can ensure that our body stays responsive to the adaptations we're trying to impose upon them, especially when we're going back into a phase later on in the year, which we hit previously. So this would be the reason that we would want to utilize different phases. We wouldn't want to go from a fat loss phase right to another fat loss phase because it wouldn't be conducive. You'd most likely be less responsive to that subsequent or that second fat loss phase because you still have negative adaptations that you sustained from the previous one. And something I find quite common is that many feel that they always need to be pushing forward and doing more. And so these individuals also tend to believe the only way to bust through a plateau is to push even harder and to do things for longer periods of time. And this applies to everything in fitness related from training to dieting to cardio. And now don't get me wrong, putting in a greater amount of consistency, effort, and focus can be an extremely effective method if the reason you're not seeing the progress you want and desire is because you're not nailing enough variables within your program that are needed for your body to positively adapt and change. However, if you're someone who is doing everything you can, yet still seeing minimal progress because you've been doing things for so long, so you're 16, 20, 24, 30 weeks into a diet, and you just continue to try to push through this energy deficit, it may be time to pull things back and try another approach in order to potentiate the next phase where you can then push forward again and see actual visible progress. And for those who have been through chronic fat loss phases and have been on this chronic dieting hamster wheel, essentially, this could be really effectively done by transitioning to a reverse diet or to a recovery phase, or even better, to a maintenance phase. And maintenance phases are a great way to address hunger issues, maintain fat loss while improving energy levels, which can then transfer over to better training performance and improve recovery capacity, as well as allow you to recover from a metabolic perspective and build lean mass in the process. Then if we go to the other end of the spectrum and we look at building phases, once you've pushed the building phase for an extended period of time, it may be time to take a step back and transition to another phase, like going into a mini cut or a cleanup phase. And so a mini cut or a cleanup phase allows you to increase insulin sensitivity, improve your nutrient partitioning, regain the appetite that you may have lost from being in a surplus for an extended period of time, all while dropping body fat so that you have more runway and room to grow during your next building phase. And the goal with utilizing different goal-specific phases of nutrition is to reset and resensitize your body to stimuli that are no longer yielding the same results and progress that they once did. And this is why taking a periodized approach to your nutrition and training, where you transition in and out of different phases, can put you in a better position to be able to make progress again, rather than just continuing to chase the same goal while using the same approach, which often leads to a long period of being plateaued. Which is why if you're someone who has been on this constant hamster wheel of dieting, I encourage you to take a step back and be willing to eat more and to go into a phase where you upregulate your metabolism, you focus on building lean mass, you improve your biofeedback, and all of these are being done so that your body is more responsive and can lose fat more effectively in the future. And so if you are someone that is looking to go into a fat loss phase in the coming new year, but you just ended a diet, a couple weeks ago, or you dieted up until the point of the holidays, and then you kind of fell off just due to how hectic and how busy the holiday season is, so that you gain weight during this period of time, jumping back into a diet is not a solution for that. Maybe going back to maintenance and cleaning back up your habits and really reinstituting a lot of the positive habits and behaviors that led you to success previously would be the most advantageous approach. And instead of just jumping from diet to diet, think about taking a more strategic, intelligent, and periodized approach. And so, as always, guys, I appreciate you checking out the show. You guys can always find me on Instagram, which is at BrandonDeCruz_. For any coaching inquiries or consultations, please feel free to reach out to me at my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com. And also, please remember to follow the show both on Spotify and iTunes. Leave us a review, preferably 5 stars, and then share the episode on your stories so that we can continue to reach more listeners and to have a positive ripple effect on this industry. As you know, since day one, I've said this since the initial episode, and we're already on episode 89. So this is 88 episodes ago, more than a year and a half ago. My goal since day one has been to bridge the gap between research and information and really show people how to practically apply these things so that you can look better, you can feel better, and you can function better. And I really believe that a massive way to do that is to empower others through education. So as always, guys, I appreciate you listening, and I hope you guys have a great week and a happy holiday, because this upcoming week is Christmas. So I hope for everyone that celebrates whatever holiday it may be, happy Chris or Merry Christmas, whatever holiday is your your choice or your preference. And I hope you guys have an incredible holiday season. Peace.